Well, good morning. Welcome to the new year. It's good to see all of you here this morning. I'm so glad that you've chosen to come before the Lord on this first Sunday in the new year, 2016. I'll ask you to take God's word this morning. Let's open it up to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I've already begun to change a little bit. I want to start in verse 2, but I want to go all the way down to verse 14 instead of just down to verse 8. And so I hope you'll turn there as we're getting ready to get started. This is the first series, of course, in our new year. And I'm just excited about what God is going to do because we're going to be talking about building your future. As we start in this new year, I think it's a great topic for us to hit on, just what I feel like God wants us to be. And here's what I want you to understand. This is what I want us to focus on for the next couple of weeks. And that is, the quality of my future, the quality of your future. And I want you to listen carefully. The quality of your future does not depend on how much you have. The quality of your future depends on whether or not what you have has God's blessing on it. That is what God teaches in the Word. The world is all about how much I have. How much can I get? How much can I accrue? For a child of God, for me, and I want it to be for you, it isn't about how much I have. It is whether or not what I have has God's hand on it. And I want to show you this in the Word. Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and flee before you seven. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to do. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your beast, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in the season and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you only will be above and you will not be underneath. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Now we know that this is primarily God speaking to his people Israel. We don't want to confuse, when you go into the Word, that you confuse Israel with the church. That being said, what God is teaching here in the Old Testament, you find confirmed again in the New Testament, which means that it applies to us also as his people. God talks about blessing his people. He talks about being with us as we come in and as we go out, if we qualify for that. And that's what I want to talk about. Many of you, I look at today and last year in January, some of you were not here. Many of you are new faces. And I thought about so many of you as I was getting ready for this message. You know, when you join Harmony Hill, when you come and you become part of the family here on the Hill, you come under my watch care and the watch care of the pastors that are here. And I understand that when you're here, I become responsible. I don't become responsible for everything that you do, but I become responsible to teach you what you need to do. And God holds me accountable for dividing the word and doing it rightly. And there is this weight that is on me week in and week out to make sure that when I get up and I speak, that I'm not giving you what I think, but I'm giving you, in fact, what is written here in the word of God. And I know that's why you come, to hear the word. And here's what I want you to know. I want you, my desire is to give you the word so that you grow in 2016. That you grow in the knowledge of the Lord. But here's what I want you to understand. Growing isn't just about knowing. You can know a lot of things and not necessarily grow. And what God says in the word is, he that knows to do good and what? Does it not? To him it is sin. And so the thing that I want us to think about this morning is I want to give us truth, but we've got to understand it's not about just knowing. You've got to do something. And so in 2016, if I want the blessings of God on my life, it's not just that I know what he said in the word, but it is that I am doing that. And so here's my prayer for you. My prayer, and this may shock some of you, but I am thinking in terms of a decade. I am thinking in terms of the next 10 years of our life. I don't know everything that God is going to do, but I want to focus and I want to think about 10 years down the road. I want to think about a decade. And my desire is that the next 10 years that our Father gives us, if the Lord doesn't come, will be some of the best years that you and I have ever experienced here on the Hill and in your personal life. And I want that to speak to you, because here's what I desire. As I was getting this together, I want, my desire is for you, because of what God has called us to do, there's an incredible call upon us, a call to share the gospel around the world. A call to do more than we've ever done before, because the time is short. Would you agree with that? Time is short. And we need to be people of the light, and we need to realize that we don't know how much time we have. But God says, I want you to use it wisely. And my desire for you is that over this next decade, you will have that sense of being more blessed and less anxious. I don't know what your anxiety level is, but if you and I are growing in the Lord, that anxiety level ought to be dropping because of the blessing of God on your life. And that's what I want to pray for. I'm praying that God will guide me in teaching the word, that I want to see his blessing come upon your finances, because we've got so much that we need to do here on the Hill, and we need to be a blessed people to answer the call that God's got for us, because there's a lot to do. We've not yet developed this piece of property the way that God intends for it to be blessed. God has given us all of this acreage because God has got a plan for this church. Do you believe that? I do. I believe it with all my heart. I believe God has planted us in a good place. And God has called us to be a church for him in this city. And because of that, I want God's blessing on my finances, and I hunger for God's blessing on your finances. I want his blessing on your health. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to always be well, but that his blessing is going to be on your health, that it will be on your relationships with others. It'll be upon your family. And if you're married and you have a family, that his blessings will also fall upon your children. I'm not thinking just in terms of Catherine and me. I'm thinking in terms of my two sons, their wives, and those 12 grandkids that I've got. My desire is to see God's blessing fall on all of them. And so I want to talk to you today. I want us to look at the word, and I want us to hear what God says about living a blessed life and not an anxious life. And I want you to ask yourself, am I living blessed or am I living anxious? And I want you to think about that. And I want you to look, if you get out your life point outline, if you haven't already done that. The first thing I want us to think about is this. What does it mean to be blessed biblically? What does blessed mean? Well, the biblical word for blessing literally means, now watch this, and I've already given you just a little bit, but here's what it is. From the biblical perspective, if I am a blessed man, if you are a blessed man or woman, it means this. It means that God takes what you have and he increases its ability to meet the needs in your life. Being blessed means that God takes what I have and he meets my needs in my life. Let me give you an example. Matthew chapter 14, in verse 19, Jesus, if you remember, this is when he fed the 5,000. You remember that? Remember that story? Jesus took, there was this huge crowd of people. There were 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So there was anywhere between 10 and 15,000 people, because these guys, of course, brought their wives, and then you've got some kids that are coming along. So Jesus takes 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And we learn from that passage that this was a meal that was prepared for a young lad. So we're talking about a young kid. His mom undoubtedly had prepared a meal for him as he was going out to go hear Jesus. And we know that there was 5 these little loaves, kind of little pita bread things, and 2 fish, some kind of salted fish, sardines, whatever that was. And the Bible says that, of course, this was a small meal. And what Jesus did was he took that and he fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. Now, the disciple, when he saw it, he said, you know, here's this meal, but what is that among so many? It's like, you know, what can we do? And Jesus simply said, that's going to be enough. And here's what I want you to understand. I want you to listen to me. It's not so much about how much I have. And this is where God wants us to understand. It's not about so much how much you have. It is whether or not what you have is blessed by God. The world is all about, I want more. I need more of this. I need more of that. I need more of something else. And that's why the world is so anxious. And what God teaches us in the Word is, when I bless you, it is not about how much you have. It is about whether or not you have my blessing. Because if I bless something, it will meet the needs of your life. Can you say amen to that? Does that make sense? Are you hearing me? Hear what I'm saying? So here's the truth in your outline. When your life is blessed of heaven, the evidence is that your needs are met. I read a very fascinating story when I was doing some study on this. There was a gentleman who had gone through a Vietnamese war, and he had been a prisoner of war in what was called the Hanoi Hilton there in North Vietnam. And he was in prison for 7 years. And he said, during that 7-year period of time, he said, my daily meal was a bowl of broth, one bowl. He said, there was never any meat, and only ever now and then would there be any kind of vegetables. Basically, every day, all I got was a bowl of watered down broth. But I want you to listen to what his testimony is. This is what he said. He said, every day, I would take that meal, and I would get before God, and I would ask God in prayer to put his blessing on that bowl of broth. And he said, somehow, God used that blessing, that bowl, to be like meat and potatoes. And he said, I lived for 7 years when I should have died because of starvation. And what I'm simply saying to you, let me give you 3 facts about God's blessing. Just things to encourage you. Number one, I want you to remember, if you want God's blessing, always remember you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Now, why would I say that? Because we live in a society so much where it talks about you deserve this. If I hear that one more time, I think I'm just going to scream. You know, they sell everything. You deserve this. You deserve this. You deserve this. You deserve all of this. One of the most incredible gifts of heaven is the blessing of God. And here's what God wants you to understand. Everything he's going to pour into your life, everything he's going to give me and my home, everything he's going to put in your life. Now listen, you don't deserve it. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Are you hearing me? God said that is important. Why? Because the Bible says God hates pride, but he gives grace to the humble. If I want his blessing on me, if I want God to be with me as I come in and go out, I've got to kick cockiness and this arrogance out of my life. That is an absolute killer. I don't deserve what God is going to give me. You don't deserve what God is going to give you. The Lord said, that's what I want you to say. Everything I get from him, everything you get from him is grace. That means it is unmerited favor. All the blessings that come from God upon your life and on my life are to be seen for what they are. They are a gift. They are not owed. God doesn't owe us anything. They are not rights. They are a gift. And we need to reject this worldly theology. I deserve better. I have a right to be happy. I have a right to have all my needs met. I don't have a right to anything. Everything that I get is a gift from him. John 1:16. From the fullness of his grace, that's unmerited favor, we've all received one blessing after another. Every blessing that falls on me and my family, every good thing that has come to us has not been because I have earned it by how I've lived my life or how I've served you or anything else as a pastor or as a human being. Everything that's come upon my family has been a gift from God. And God says, when I look down at you, if you want to be blessed, John, as you come in and go out, if you want a blessing on your children and on your grandchildren, then when I look at you, I want to see from your heart this attitude of humility that everything that you've gotten from me has been a gift and that you're grateful. So here's the next insight in your outline. Everything God does in and for and to our life is because he's good, not because we're good. That, Lord, you're good and you're a blesser, and I just want to thank you. So that's the first thing. We don't deserve it. And then number two, God says, I want you to understand, I enjoy being a blesser. And this, to me, this is so exciting. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. There were these two blind men that came to the Lord. And Jesus said, what is it that you want from me? They said, Lord, that we would receive our sight. And this is what Jesus said to them. Jesus said to the blind men, according to your faith, be it done to you. Now, what did Jesus just tell them? Jesus just said, what you get from me is based upon what you believe about me. Do you believe I want to do this? Do you believe I am able to do this? And so here's what God is saying. I get to determine how much the Father blesses me in my life based upon what I think about the Lord. If I don't believe that God delights in blessing me, if I don't understand that whatever I get, it's not because I deserve it. You know, it's like, oh, well, I just haven't earned it. I'll never earn it. No matter how much I do, I don't earn it. But that God blesses because he delights to do it. The Lord delights in being a blesser. Listen to Jeremiah 32, 41. I will enjoy blessing them. With all my heart and soul, I will faithfully plant them in this land. Do you understand? We never deplete God of anything. Isn't that a good deal? We never get everything out of the Father. God has got so much, and God says he would enjoy bringing Israel into the promised land and blessing them. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not a Jew. I'm not Israel. No. But God has said in Romans 15 and verse 10, be glad, you Gentiles, along with my people, the Jews. And so what God is simply saying is, when we come to him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we become part of his family. And there were things that God taught Israel about him wanting to be a blesser. And God also says to the church, I want to be a blessing to you. Now, God's got some very specific things for Israel, and Israel is not the church. But God has a desire to bless you and I who are part of his church. And then the third thing I want you to understand about blessing is God blesses those who qualify. The blessings of God are not automatic on my life. Now, God does some things. God is generally good to me. But there are blessings that I don't get on my life unless I ask for them and unless I seek his face. And one of the things I understand is his blessings on my life has a condition to it. Here's the insight in your outline. Every Bible promise has a premise. In other words, that means that when God says that he wants to bless you, God is saying there's something I want you to do so that I can pour on you what I want to pour on your life as you begin 2016. He says in the word, if you confess your sins, I will forgive you. If you call on me, I will save you. If you obey me, I will bless you. Look at the insight. God is waiting on you to determine if he blesses you or not. And God's desire is for this church that we will be in a position that over the next 10 years, God will bless us so that we will be a witness to a lost and dying world. That they will see God's good hand upon a church that is seeking to fulfill God's mission of sharing the gospel all around the world. They will see that Harmony Hill is doing that. And as a people say yes to God, then God's blessings are falling on them, and they see all these blessings falling on your life and on my life. Listen to Psalm 31, verse 19. You do much, Lord, for those who come to you for protection. Now listen, blessing them before the watching world. God wants to put a blessing so that others will see that he is a good God and that walking with the Lord produces a blessing in your life. God doesn't bless me so that I can be a self-centered fat cat. That's not the reason that I'm talking about this. When we talk about God being blessed, it is so that we can do what God has put us on this earth to do. That God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. So that we can help the unfortunate. So that we can share the gospel around the world. So that we can go here and go there doing what God has called us to do. Why? Because his blessing is falling on us. Ezekiel 34, 26. I will cause my people and their homes. God wants to bless your home. I will cause my people and their homes around my holy hill to be a blessing. Not just to receive a blessing, but to be a blessing. That my home, your home, would be a source of blessing to other people. And when people come into your home, they're just a blessing. They will be blessed to be around you because God is with you. His favor is with you. There is wisdom on you. And he said, I will send showers of blessing which will come just when they are needed. We are in a period of time, and notice in today's paper, they're talking about people losing jobs and about there not being very much economic growth in America. Rent going up, wages not necessarily going up, food prices going up. Here's what I want you to understand. If you look at a lot of that, you can begin to get anxious. And God says, I don't want you to be anxious. Be anxious for how much? Nothing. God said, be anxious for nothing. Why? Because my life and being able to do what I need to do is not about how much I have. It is about whether or not what I have has God's blessing on it. Does that make sense? That's what God is talking about. God said, I want you, don't live like the world. Don't live like them. It's not about how much you have. It is about whether or not you're coming in and you're going out is blessed by me. And what I'm looking for us, what I'm preaching about, what I'm wanting for us is over this next decade that there will be a blessing on us. And it's not about for the next 10 years how much we're going to get. It doesn't matter what's taking place in America. I don't care about that. I don't do what I do based upon what the stock market is going to do or what Washington is going to do or anything else. I do what I do based upon how I'm led by the Holy Spirit of God according to the Word. Why? Because God is my blesser. God is the one who takes care of me. I've often said, you can't have enough money to take care of the problems that can come to you. But what is important is that the hand of God is with you and that you are blessed as you come in and as you go out. That's what I'm after. My hunger, my desire is that upon this fellowship for which God has made me responsible, that we will have the key to God's storehouse. God has a storehouse. He said, I can meet every need in your life. And it is not about how much you've got. It does not matter, quite frankly, how the economy is doing in this region. That is not the problem. The issue is whether or not the painters and the lawyers and whoever, whatever the jobs are here, whether everybody and whatever work it is that you have is the blessing of God on you in what you are doing. There is no better time than right now when people have lost jobs or whatever that we need. There needs to be a church in Lufkin on whom the blessings of God are coming, so that God can work through us to meet the needs of other people, that we can be a blessing to others. Now, I know some of you here, especially in this service, since most of you who are, you know, past 50 are primarily in this service, I know some of you are probably saying, Brother John, that sounds so good, God's blessing and all this and about the future and everything. But I'm kind of wondering, is it too late for me? You know, I'm kind of like I'm on the backside of the mountain. I'm kind of on the downhill slide here. I'm past middle age, okay? Here, I want you to look at the insight in your outline. It's never too late to get in the blessing of God. It's just never too late. It doesn't matter where you feel like you've got 5 years left or 20. That doesn't matter. Let the last years of your life be the best ones. Huh? Let them be the best. Good grief. Think about everything you've been through. All the wisdom that you've got. You know so much about what you shouldn't do. You know, it's like, try that, been there, no thing. Listen to what God said, Job 42, verse 12. The Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than in the first half. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for me. I want God's blessing. Listen to the insight. You can have a blessed life if you meet the conditions. So let me talk about that for the last two. Let me give you two more and we're done. Number two, God will bless me. If I'm going to have his blessings, I need to meet with him daily. I meet with him daily. Proverbs 8, verse 34. Blessed is the man. Who is the man that whatever he has meets the need of his life? That's a blessed man. Not about how much you have, but that what you have is blessed by God. It takes care of the needs of your life. Blessed is the man. Now listen, that kind of man, what does he do? He listens to me. He watches daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. Now listen, if I want to be blessed by God in 2016, I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing and what I'm hoping that if you haven't been doing, you start doing, and that is that you meet with God every day. Call it a quiet time. You call it whatever you want to call it. Just do it. That in 2016, you will meet with God every day, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, whatever you, how much time it's going to be, but that you meet with him. What does that mean? It means, number one, you get alone with God. You open up the word so that you can hear from him. And then you get in prayer so that you can talk to him and you can share with him what's on your heart. That means you maybe you get down on the floor on your face before him because you want to make contact with him. If you are a morning person, do it early in the morning, maybe before everybody gets up in the house if you've got family living with you. If you're a night person, do it late in the evening when everybody's going to bed. It doesn't matter when you do it. Just do it. That every day, just like you eat and you drink, every day you are with the Lord. Psalm 31:19. You have stored up great blessings for those who honor you. How do you honor God? You honor God by giving him the first of your life and your time. God says, whatever you bring to me, I want it to be your first. God loves the first. He sanctified the first. That's why we talk about giving God the tithe. You give, what is the tithe? The tithe is the first 10% of your income. Why do I not give God what I've got left over after I've paid all my bills? Because that's not first. And you got to ask yourself, where do I put my most confidence? Do I put my confidence in how much money I've got in the bank, or do I put my confidence in God's blessings on what I have? And so you put him first. That's the first thing when the money comes in. The first thing you do is you set aside what is his. You give God the first. That's why we worship on the first day of the week. God wants to be first. He said, I want the first day of the week. You have stored up great blessings for those who honored you. You do so much for those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. God wants his hand on your life to be obvious. Don't you want his blessings to be obvious on you? I do. I want people to say, you know, there's just something about his life. It just, it doesn't mean I don't have problems, but there's just the evidence that there's this blessing. And you know what that means? You see it in my face. And when you, over the next 10 years, when you're in here, I want to see on your face the blessing of God. It doesn't mean that you won't have challenges. It doesn't mean that there may not be uphill climbs and downhill slides. But in your face is that awareness that no matter what happens to me, God is going to take care of me. Can you say amen to that? Is that, you understand what I'm saying? God's just with me. His blessing is with me. Doesn't mean I'm not going to be challenged. Doesn't mean he's not going to test me in some things. But it just means as I come in and go out, his hand is with me. And then number three, God will bless you if you live in and by the word. The Bible is full of promises where God says, if you get in my word and you get the word in your heart and in your mind, I can put a blessing on your business. I can put a blessing on your family. I can put a blessing on your health. I can put a blessing on your finances. Why? Because the word of God tells me the will of God. And if I want to know what God wants me to do over the next 10 years, I need to get in the word. Psalm 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, in other words, the word of God, and on his word, listen, he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prosperous. Now, to meditate on the word of God does not mean I sit in a lotus position on the floor and go, I'm not talking about that. Get away from that. It means when I meditate on the word, I think about what is it that God is saying to me. People say, well, the word of God to me means, it doesn't matter what it means to you. It doesn't matter what it means to me. It matters what it means. When God gave us the word, he meant something. And what a Bible study is not about, well, this is what it means to me. It don't matter what it means to you. What it matters is, what does God mean by what he says? And God means something. There's not different interpretations to the Bible. There's only one interpretation. God only has one set of truth. And so, meditating on the word means finding out what God meant in the word and putting that into my life. And as you go after God's word, here's what he says. He said, when you hunger for the word, you will be like a tree yielding its fruit in season. It just simply means you'll have a productive life. God's hand will be with you, whose leaf doesn't wither. Doesn't matter if there's a recession. Doesn't matter what's going on in our country. Why? Because I'm going to be like a tree who's got deep roots planted right by the river. Doesn't matter what's going on in the rest of the world. My life is taken care of. The economy doesn't blow me away. God's hand is with me. One last insight and I'm done. James 1:25. The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now listen, if you want heaven to bless your home, your life, your family, your business, your health, remember what you studied. If you want to be blessed, you need to remember today. You need to remember what Pastor preached on the first Sunday in 2016. Why do we have Life Point outlines? Why do we have this? This is not because we're trying to think of a way to use more paper. It's not what this is about. Look in your outline, the insight. The shortest pen is better than the longest memory. I preached last Sunday's message three times. I can't remember what the title was. Let me tell you something. You will forget if you don't write it down. Guaranteed. That's the reason why we do it. 95% of what you hear today, you're going to forget in 72 hours. By Tuesday, you're like, what are you talking about? Oh yeah, this is it right here. I got it all written down. That's the reason why we do it. And God simply says, write it down so you can put it in your life. Now here's the question as we close. If 2016 is like 2015 for you, does that mean that this is going to be a blessed year or an anxious year? I want you to think about that. If you want to have a blessed life in 2016, you've got to qualify. What does that mean? Well, it means that your attitude is, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve God's blessing. And I shun arrogance and pride, but I yearn for a blessed life. I yearn for my Father's blessing on me. And you believe he wants to do you good. He's a father. And he wants to take care of you. And he says, if you want me to take care of you, I want you to walk with me every day. Not every other day. Not two or three times a week. Every day, I want us to talk. And I want you to be with me. And I want you to live by my word. I want your life to be guided by the word. I want you to be part of a life group where you are in the word of God every week. And where you worship here on the hill once every 7 days. And I want you to bow your heads. We're going to have a brief time of invitation this morning. Our pastors are going to be here at the front if you need to talk with somebody. But I want to